I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Our Father, would you bless these words to our hearts? Lord, may we behold, through the revelation of your Spirit, the glorious union of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. For his honor and for our good, we pray these things. Amen. Before the foundation of the world, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, reveals that God chose a people, chose us, his elect, in Christ. Chose us and placed us in the Lord Jesus Christ to be represented by, to be answered for. As we have heard, Brother Scott, and rightly so, God doesn't change. That which Almighty God does, he does forever. And where the Lord put his people, there he kept them. Now, the Scripture reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, has everlastingly loved his people. The Scriptures reveal that our Maker is our husband. When we were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, this is an eternal covenant of grace. The marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the husband, your Maker is your husband. Now remember, God doesn't change. All that the Lord is right now, he's always been. God has never begun to be anything different than what he is right now. He's God. Therefore, we have always been married to the Lord Jesus Christ. This union, he said, I have betrothed you to myself everlastingly. There has never been a time when the bride of Christ was not the bride of Christ. Now, we have to understand something here. Our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal relationship. He said in Proverbs 8, he said that his delight, was with the sons of men. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. You're mine. We have always been his sheep, his elect, his chosen, his beloved, his bride. Almighty God, when he formed man out of the dust, God said, let us make man in our own image. And he formed man out of the dust and breathed into him the breath of life. And man lived. After he formed Adam, God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep and took a rib out of Adam and made Eve, made woman. Now, that glorious act of creation was a beautiful picture of the actual substance of the marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. We were taken out of him. We are bone of his bone. Verse 30 of what I just read. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We were taken out of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were taken out of Christ himself eternally. God Almighty formed us. Before there was ever an actual creation, we were chosen in him, and he knew us. He knew us. Adam's creation and the creation of Eve and the marriage between Adam and Eve. For this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, cleaved to his wife. They're going to be one flesh. Whenever the bride of Christ fell in Adam's rebellion, she did not fall and be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. She's always been his, found in him. This is a great mystery, but remember, where God puts a people, he keeps the people. Formed them in Christ. You know, we always say this, and we understand, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, we were in him. When he walked this earth, we were in him. When he died, we died. Paul the Apostle bears what I just said out. He said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul, in actuality, in flesh, in this human flesh, right, he wasn't on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was in Christ. He said, I was with him. I was crucified with him. Died with him. Raised with him. We are members of his body. When we fell in Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ was still our husband. He has betrothed himself. I was talking a few moments ago to a dear friend, and we were talking about when Hosea was told by the Lord You know, you go and you marry Gomer. She was a harlot. He married her. You know what she did? She ran off. Ran off in rebellion. At what point was she not his wife? She was still his wife. He provided for her when she didn't know any better. He'd bring her food and lay it at her doorstep. And she gave all the honor and praise and glory for all that food to her lovers. And it was her husband that was taking care of her. She didn't even know it. When she was wore out, you know, out there, she's going to auction her off. And the Lord said, you go and buy her. Pay the ransom. And Hosea went and paid for her again. Why? Because she was his wife. That was his wife. And he bought her and brought her home. We fell in Adam. But we were never separated from Christ. Never. Adam's rebellion could never thwart the eternal purpose of Almighty God. Oh, we were aliens. Aliens in our minds. But he said, I've always loved you. You've always been mine. And because we were always his, because we were his bride, his wife, fallen, ruined by the fall, he was made flesh. And he came into this world, born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, made like unto his brethren, like unto sinful flesh, yet without sin. And he came into this world as the husband, the redeemer, the savior of his church. And he went to Calvary, having lived this earth and earned her righteousness that would be imputed to her, and bore her guilt, and paid her debt, made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Why? Because we are his bride. And he washed us in regenerating grace, cleansed us, gave us a new nature, gave us a new heart, new will. That which we lost, he restored. That which he took not away. We rebelled against him. But he always loved us. When we didn't love him, he loved us. His people, his church. Because we were his, because we were in him, because he was ever our representative, our surety. I'm going to make good. I'll finish the work. His work, the will of the Father, was that all that the Father had given him, that he should lose nothing. He came into this world, bought her back, paid for her. What did it cost him? Cost him his life. Cost him his blood. And he hung before Almighty God, before God's law, made sin, and put her dead away. Cast her dead as far as the east is from the west. Why? That's his bride. That's his. And having now washed us from our sins, gave us a new nature that doesn't sin. That which is born of God sinneth not. And there's coming a time when he's going to come back. And all that have died in the faith, died in Christ, died in the Lord, they're going to be raised first. And he's going to then receive, we, Paul says, that are alive and remain upon this earth. We're going to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. and we're going to be presented before heaven and hell. Everybody is going to see the glorious bride washed white in the blood of the Lamb. The glorious institution of marriage is a beautiful picture of that which Almighty God has everlastingly purposed, willed, and chosen for the Son, a bride. It was not good that the Son should be alone. The Lord Jesus Christ, He would be glorified and magnified in a way that Almighty God knew there'd be no better way, that His power and His mercy and His grace and His obedience and His faithfulness would be displayed in the best and right way by Him having a bride. And in her fall, He would redeem her and cleanse her, wash her. What an institution. Marriage. Marriage. A marriage born in the heart of Almighty God. The Scripture says, Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now that's God's command concerning a man and his wife. Man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they're one. God makes them one flesh. Marriage, being born in the mind and will and purpose of Almighty God for the express purpose of displaying all honor and glory and praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the bridegroom and His bride, the church. That institution of marriage is commanded by God Almighty that we might behold Him. And when marriage in its simplest terms is obeyed, marriage, a man marries a wife. That obedience is worship. The marriage of a man and his wife is worship. First time that the word worship, I've told you this, was ever mentioned, when Abraham was told by God, "I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him to a place that I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice him to me, a burnt offering." And Abraham went, and he saw the place, and he told the two servants that were with him, he said, "You stay here with the ass, and the lad and I are going to go up yonder." You know what Abraham was going to go do? He was going to go kill Isaac. That's what God told him to do. But you know the way Abraham said it? He said, "Lad and I are going to go worship. God's commanded me to sacrifice my boy." And he said, "I'm going to go worship God." God Almighty has decreed a man and a woman in marriage will be to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a believer longs to know what God has to say about a marriage and the relationship between the man and the woman. Now, this is God's Word. This is God's way. And our desire as a believer. Now, I'm talking to believer. Unbeliever doesn't care. Unbeliever going to argue with God and say, well, I think I've got a better way. I think we can improve on this. I think we should be. A believer wants to know, what does God have to say about the management of a marriage, of a home? This is what the Lord has to say. Realizing that this is a beautiful picture of that which God Almighty has everlastingly done, given the Son a bride. Listen to what God has to say concerning this marriage. Verses 22 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. When a wife submits, and I looked up these words so that I could know what they mean. I don't want to think I know what they mean. I want to know what they mean. Wives, now listen to this. Wives, leave the management of your home to your husband. That's what submit means. Submit. To leave the management to. Whenever I say this, when we have a marriage, I'll tell the wives. Now, this is what God has to say concerning the home. You've got a husband, you've got a wife. Wives, submit. Husbands, listen to me. A wife has got a brain. And there's a very wise man will talk to his wife concerning the decisions that have to be made in a home. Husbands, listen to what your wife has to say. Listen to what she has to say. But listen to what God has to say concerning if there has to be a decision made. Husbands, it is your responsibility to make a decision concerning the home. If you have to make a decision, you're talking about it, and wives, leave the management. Express your opinion. That it's fine. Listen, Glenda and I will talk about things, and I'll ask her, what do you think? You know, but there comes a point to where a decision is going to have to be. This does not mean that the wife is blindly just left out of all decisions. It doesn't say that. But we submit yourselves, leave the management to the husband. And wives, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that it is the Lord's way. Why? Because the husband is a picture of Christ. And the Lord will bless it. Listen, the Lord will bless it. A wife that submits to her husband and leaves the management of the home. And the husband that is loving his wife and doing all for her. And she knows that he's doing all for her good, her betterment, her protection, her everything that a husband does. As Christ loves the church, husbands love their wives. He's not trying to see how much he can put her down or make a rag out of her or something. That's not the way the Lord does the church. Wives, when you submit to your husband, leave the management to your husband. Do it as unto the Lord. For the husband, verse 23, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body, the protector, the redeemer. The Lord has given you, wives, a husband to watch over you. A husband that loves his wife, I'm telling you, somebody tried to get to his wife. A husband that loves his wife's got this attitude, and rightly so. You're going to have to come through me. Now you may kill me to get to her, but you'll have to kill me first. You mean that? I mean that. Yeah, that's a husband that loves his wife. He's going to watch out. Wives, submit to him. He's watching out for you. Therefore, verse 24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That is, everything that is lawful. I mean, a husband is telling his wife, you know, let's go off and knock off a bank. It's not talking about that. Everything that is lawful and consistent with God's Word. Now, here's something we need to remember. When a husband loves his wife and a wife is in subjection to her husband, she's resigned to subjection, being subjection. She's depended upon. I'm going to tell you something. The Lord blesses this. He blesses this. He'll bless it. You know, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That is, look to him, respect him as the one that loves you, cover his faults, defend his character, remember him in prayer as he strives to be obedient to God as your husband. Pray for him. Pray for him. I want to make the right decision. I do. I want to make the right decision. And it is a comfort to me to know that my wife would be praying for me. It's a comfort to me that you would be praying for me. How does the bride of Christ think and act toward the Lord Jesus? Well, I can tell you this, she thinks well of him. She loves him. She's respectful of him. And she knows that he does what he does out of a heart of love for her, out of compassion for her. The Lord has ordained this marriage in this way and has placed the husband to be the one that is to be the one that is in authority. But he does it lovingly, compassionately, with her well-being in mind, with her feelings in mind. He's not a tyrant. He's not a tyrant. I think about, you know, marriages that I have witnessed that I where the husband loves his wife and wife is just a beautiful. It's beautiful, beautiful. Husbands, I mentioned this last week. I'll look at it. Husbands, love your wife. Verse 25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself. He gave himself. He laid down himself. That's a husband that loves his wife. Husbands, love your wife. Take delight in her as being your wife. Take delight in her. Show her respect and honor her as your bride, the weaker vessel. That the Lord has declared her to be the weaker vessel and dependent upon. She is dependent upon her husband as Christ is dependent upon the church. Seek her contentment in a quiet and peaceful home and have the best opinion of her. Always endeavoring to seek not only for her physical but her spiritual welfare. I've said this and I mean this. I place her on a pedestal in the home. Treat her as one that you truly, truly respect and love. Treat her as the queen of the house. She's deserving of that. She's deserving of that. You know, I've heard people ask some women, "Well, what do you do?" Well, I'm just a housewife. What a wonderful calling, you know, just a housewife. That's the greatest thing that you could do. I mean, just, you know, Be a homemaker. Homemaker. I'll be honest with you. I'm not very good at it. Sometimes I just don't see stuff. I just don't recognize. I came home yesterday afternoon, and Glenda said, did you see that new fall door? It goes on a door. Thank you. Wreath. Did you see that new wreath? And I said, no, I didn't see it. I had to open the door. I just, you know, be respectful. Be thankful. You know. And cover her faults. She's a frail creature. You know, defend her character. Take her side. Take her side against all others. And don't put her down. Don't put her down. Just, you know, she's left the security of her home. Her mom and dad took your name. You know, love her. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Here's the key. Gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives, even as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now here's a great mystery. The Lord said, a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. I've looked that up. In that verse 31, it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and be cemented, is what the word is. Be cemented. Be glued to his wife. They're one flesh. They're a unit. They're a beautiful unit. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This, husbands, this is why we treat our wives, why we're to treat our wives like we do, like the Scriptures commands us to do in loving them. Because it's honoring to the Lord. Because that's what the Lord does for us. And I realize how frail we are and how little we find ourselves doing these things. And there's not a time that I mean I could read these Scriptures right here and think to myself, I'd like to go back and try this one again. Maybe I'd like to handle that situation again. You know, but it doesn't change the fact that I desire to. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's why I said a while ago what I said, where God put us eternally, that's where he's always kept us. He has never separated us from himself. He's always been our husband. We've always been taken out of him. As Adam, that was that. God the Spirit gave that illustration, gave that actual happening to teach us something of what the Lord has done for us in Christ. As that bone was taken out of Eve, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. One of these days I'll understand that. But I can tell you this, it is a wonderfully magnificent thought that we were taken out of Christ and created from him and in him. And one of these days, we're going to see the fruition of it. It's going to all be made manifest. We're going to see what Almighty God has ever done. No man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even in our fall. This was the Lord's attitude toward us. Because we were, the Scripture says, we're of His flesh, verse 30, of His bones. No man ever hated his own flesh. The Lord has always cherished us and nourished us. I told you last week, I had somebody tell me the other day. They said, you know, if it had been me, I'd have just cut that finger off. I said, well, I'm kind of partial to it. I'm just kind of partial to it. Why? Because it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm glad that I have. For this cause, verse 31, shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. For this cause, because God Almighty chose us in Him, because the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, because the Spirit of God in time regenerated us, for that reason, because it's honoring unto the Lord, for this cause, because we're His, chosen, redeemed, regenerated by Him, because we're His, for this cause, this is the reason why a man leaves his father and mother and joins himself to his wife. They're one flesh. And then Paul says in verse 32-33, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Everything that Paul said concerning wives submitting to their husbands, our own husbands, and husband is the head of the wife, and the church is subject to the Lord. Let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love you. For that reason, that great mystery, he said, I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. This is a beautiful picture of Him and us. Nevertheless, verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The Lord loves His own. They're out of Him. They were brought out of Him. Fell in Adam, but always His. Rebels against Him, but He ever loved us, cherished us, and gave Himself for us, that He might cleanse us, and wash us, and robe us in His righteousness, and present us unto Himself. A glorious church, not having a spot now, not having a wrinkle now, you know, beautiful. And there's coming a time, real soon, in light of eternity, that He's going to receive us unto Himself, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. May we look at our spouses, husbands loving their wives, wives submitting themselves to their own husbands as a beautiful picture and type of Christ and His bride for His honor and glory and for our eternal good. Amen.